Amen. God is good. God is very good. Yes, we had a wonderful meeting yesterday. We were actually invited by one of the churches to go and minister to them. And, you know, we saw such a lot of wonderful things happen. We saw so many people touched by the power of God. It was a real blessing. And, you know, we spent the whole day in that church. We were there from, I was there from 8:30 till 6:00 in the evening. Yes, we were. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. And you know what was so good? To hear the comments of some of the people, how they experienced God, how they experienced the move of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say that they'd never experienced the move of the Holy Spirit whatsoever. And I think some of them are still shaking, rattling, and rolling a bit because of the things that they saw and the things that they experienced. And I want to just say to you that, you know what, when I experience things like that, when we go to churches and we see how little they really experience God, then I realize just how blessed I am because I experience God all the time. And I have to say to you that God spoils me a lot. And I want to just say thank you to that. You know, we had people there that had been in church for 30, 40, 50 years that had never really been touched by God until yesterday when the river of life started flowing through that church. And I believe that their foundation of their faith is shaken a little bit, and I'm excited about that because, you know what, God wants to shake your foundation if it's not good. And sometimes you need to rebuild your foundation because it was never built in the right place. Where's the place to build your foundation? It's on Jesus, not on religion. And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. They think because they act religious and they do religious things and they can quote a lot of scriptures, they have to be okay. No, it's not the way it works. Your foundation must be solid. Your foundation must be on Christ. And your foundation must be on the principles of the kingdom of the living God. Not on what some person says, but what God says. I actually just want to say something based on what I've just said. I am in the privileged position that I get to speak to people from all walks of life, and I get to speak to people from all different church backgrounds. We speak to Baptists, we speak to Methodists, we speak to Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Catholics, Anglicans, Greek Orthodox, etc., etc., etc. And you know what? One of the things that never ceases to amaze me is how people will often put more value and more weight in what somebody told them than what they do in what the Word of God actually says concerning what they are talking about. And when you speak to them about it, they get angry and they get frustrated and they want to fight. But the fact of the matter is, you can't fight with a person like that, because if they want to put more weight in a man's words, that's their choice, that's their prerogative, but they're being stupid. Because in the end, the buck stops, yeah, like the Americans say, at the Word of God. And it's not what this one told you, or that one told you, or that one told you. It's what does God say about it? Because that is the truth that will set you free. And that's what you should build your foundation on. And a lot of people are building their foundation on the opinions of mere mortals and not on the living Word of God. And therefore, sometimes God has to come and really shake your foundation, because you are not going to go very far in the kingdom of God because you are building your life on rubbish. And I'm sure some of you, let's ask the question. Who of you, I'm not talking about right now, but at some point in time, has realized that certain beliefs that you had were actually completely wrong? Maybe they were religious in some way, they sounded good, but when you tested them, compared them to the Word, they were just a man's opinion. And you see, that's the sad thing. And that's why sometimes the church has no power. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. What comes from the Word of God can be anointed by the Spirit of God. What comes from a man will not be anointed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit works closely with the Word of God. Can I tell you why? Because the Word is Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. when we preach the pure word of God, Jesus begins to move in the meeting. And where Jesus goes, the anointing goes, because Jesus Christ means simply the anointed one and his anointing. And if you want anointing without Jesus, you're going to get demons. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you want anointing without Jesus, you're going to get demons. Demons can also make people shake. Demons can also make people freak out. Demons can also make people do strange and funny and things. But they're not going to advance your life. They're going to destroy your life. They're not going to build you up. They're going to break you down. Probably I have shared this before. I know I have a lot of stories. But I bless God that I actually have a lot of stories to share with you. But many years ago, I was working with a young lady. Well, she wasn't really that young. That was involved in Satanism. I referred to her every now and then. I worked with her for a year, so I learned a lot from her experiences in life. And she was involved in Satanism, and she was actively involved in infiltrating churches, going and sitting there and placing curses on everybody. And she would start by putting curses on the pastor, putting curses on the leadership, putting curses on the young people, trying to cause division, releasing doubt, etc., etc. But I will never forget, there was 14 demons that I cast out of her that were all what I refer to as church-going demons. They worked within the church, and a lot of them copied the so-called manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where people would be shaking, people would be speaking in tongues. The spirit of false tongues was very, very busy with her. They used to love her when she used to go to churches and when she used to go to Christian rallies, because anybody that she touched would start speaking in tongues immediately. But the tongues that the people received were not from the Holy Spirit. It was from an evil spirit that would enter people and begin to speak through them. And a lot of the people that she touched would actually go down, and they would be lights out for like half an hour, sometimes 2 to 3 hours. And then suddenly they would just sit up and they would like, wada, 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 wada. And then everybody's praising God because these people are speaking in tongues, but they're not. It's demons. It's evil spirits. So we need a good solid foundation, and we need some good solid discernment. And we get that only from the Word of God. We don't get that from the opinions of people. Amen? All right, let's go back to a scripture that I shared with you on and off in the last couple of weeks. John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he is going. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where he wants to. Who's the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is getting us to try and, or trying to get us to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to do what he wants. He doesn't want to do what you want. And that's where a lot of us have problems, because we want to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. We want to give him our list of demands. Yes, you can touch me if you do it this way, this way, this way, or this way. And unfortunately, you can't tell the Holy Spirit what to do, because he's already giving us that, I'm going to do it my way. Because you don't want him to do it his way doesn't mean that he's going to stop working. Can I tell you what tends to happen? Instead of touching you, he touches the one next to you, because that one's heart is open and willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work the way God wants to. Do you know what's one of the biggest problems to blocking the Holy Spirit from working in somebody's life? Look at your neighbor and say, a religious spirit. Because religious spirits have problems and issues with everything. Now, we shouldn't do it this way, we should do it that way. They want to turn everything into some legalistic, rule-based whatever, which is rubbish, which is nonsense. We can't tell God what to do. We can't tell God how to do it. You know, oh, this guy has a ponytail, he can't pray for me. Well, you're just being religious. Don't you agree? Yeah. Oh, that one's wearing a jean. A pastor shouldn't wear a jean. Oh, well, you're being religious. That's just it. We shouldn't be falling over. Why not? There's a lot of things where we want to tell God what to do. We're all religious. We think we're nice. We think we're good, but we're not. What God wants from you is for you to open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Yesterday, I had an experience with 2 or 3 people. And I want to say that I don't know how many people exactly came to the meeting, but We were very blessed because pretty much everybody was touched by the power of God. But there was two or three people, the moment I went and I stood in front of them, I could feel, when the Holy Spirit works, I feel it in myself. I feel something start flowing through me. But there was a couple of people where when I went and stood in front of them, nothing happened. It was like a completely shut door. And I could feel it. And you know what? To me, it's sad. And I don't have time to get into anything with the people there. Sometimes it's because of bitterness. Sometimes it's because of unforgiveness. Sometimes it's just because of a bad attitude. But I want to tell you something. If your attitude is not right, the Holy Spirit cannot work with you. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, is a gentleman. He's not a gentleman when he works with the devil. There he kicks the devil's butt left, right, and center. He doesn't care. But when he works with us, the Holy Spirit is not going to force you or force me to do anything. It's your choice whether you will allow it or you will not. Do you understand? Anyway, I'm going to share with you something that Jesus had to say. And then I want to show you how this works. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 20. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the assistant and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All right, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 20. You want to know what Jesus' ministry was all about? There he just told you in his own words what his ministry would all be about. Jesus himself attributes his ability to do supernatural things to the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, and he told the people that he was in their midst to fulfill that scripture. Now I want us to take a look at that scripture and see just what it entails. Isaiah 61. Now this is the original. Jesus quoted from this. Let's look at what the original says. Isaiah 61 from verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Right. Jesus is speaking about his ministry. Do you agree with me that when you compare all the ministries that we've seen so far, you can take somebody like Reinhard Bonnke, you can take somebody like Benny Hinn, whoever else you want to put in there. We compare what Jesus did with what these people did, and what they do is insignificant compared to what Jesus did. Do you know any of these men that walked on water? No. Who walked on water? No, I mean any of those men, the other evangelists. Yeah. What, Benny Hinn walked on water? I would love to see the video of that, because I don't believe it. I'm sorry, but I don't. Nobody else walked on water. I don't believe that that's possible. I believe Jesus did it in a way to show us, but I don't think that anybody else walked on water. There's a lot of the miracles that Jesus did that I don't believe anybody else has been able to replicate. Can I tell you why? Because the Bible says upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. You and I cannot have the Spirit of God without measure. The Bible says we have each received a measure of faith. In other words, what I have with me can be measured. It's like comparing what is in a storage tank versus what is in the oceans. What is in the oceans, you can't necessarily measure. You can't see how deep it is in certain places. You don't always know how wide it is. But what is in that storage tank is 10,000 liters or 20,000 liters. So the anointing upon my life, God can measure it. Or people can measure it if there was some unit to measure it in. But what was on Jesus could not be measured. He had the full package. If I don't have the full package, I can't do exactly what he did. I can replicate a lot of what he did, but I can't necessarily do it the same way that he did it, because he had more. Amen? And let's face it, there was one big difference between Jesus and anybody else that walks the earth, and that is called sin. Jesus is called the second Adam. Why? Because Jesus was the second man that walked the earth without sin. Jesus had no sin, therefore the power of God was much stronger upon his life than what it necessarily is upon our lives. But sometimes because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, wonderful things do happen. And yes, Jesus did send us out to do the same as what he did. Now, Jesus says the following, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Now, stop right there. Why does the Holy Spirit come upon us? He just said it there. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to anoint us. Now, listen carefully. The purpose of the anointing is to equip you to do something. Look at your neighbor and say, supernatural. There we go. When the anointing is released upon your life, it is to equip you and to enable you to be effective within the confines of the kingdom of God, to further the purposes of God on earth. Whether it be the healing of the sick, whether it be the opening of the eyes of the blind, whether it be raising somebody from the dead, or whether it be casting out demons or something to that effect. But the anointing is not going to come to make you look good. The anointing is going to come to exalt Jesus Christ, because he is called the Anointed One. So now, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Now, anybody want anointing? Okay, keep your hands up. There we go. You've only got one hand up. I was expecting at least two. There we go. That's the right attitude to have. Okay, put your hands down. All right, I understand. And I also want to say I want anointing. But why does God give us anointing? It's not for us, it's for him. It's for us to be useful to him and to be ministers of God's grace to other people. Yes, in a sense, you too will be blessed because of the anointing upon your life, because as God allows you to minister to other people, to help, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel of good news, etc., etc., you're going to sow good things into their life, and because of sowing good things into their life, you will reap in return good things. But the anointing isn't there for you to make you rich or make you powerful or anything to that effect. I don't know if you remember, but there was a guy in the book of Acts. His name was Simon the Sorcerer. And he would follow Paul around. And he would see that Paul would lay hands on people and people would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he saw signs and wonders and miracles. For argument's sake, he saw the blind eyes open. He saw a crippled person start walking again. He saw somebody that was mute that couldn't speak and they started speaking, because God used the Apostle Paul mightily. And you know what? A lot of amazing things happened. And one day he came to them, to the disciples, and he said, "Listen, yeah, how much money must I give you to get what you have?" But what was his motive? His motive was not to glorify God. His motive was to look good in front of people. And he was rebuked because of that. The thing is, when God's anointing is allowed to come upon us, it's for the extension of his kingdom. It's for us to glorify his name. Jesus actually said the following, if you go and look in the book of John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, where Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, the impending outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would come after he leaves. He says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will always glorify me. He will never glorify a man, and he will not glorify himself. Whatever he does will be to glorify me. So now I want to say this to you. You know what? When we speak about the anointing and the equipping of God that comes through the anointing, everybody always wants it. But you must also understand why it is given. It is given for you to use it and for you to allow yourself to be a willing vessel so that God, through you, can glorify Christ. If you are not going to allow God to do it, don't expect it to come, because God can also see your heart, and God knows you're going to take it, you're going to put it in, you're going to hide it somewhere, and you're never going to allow it to be used. So why must he give it to you? Then there's three or four or five other people somewhere along the line that will use it, and your portion might just be allocated to them. Do you remember the parable about the servants that all received talents? One received one received two, one received or three, and the other one received five. They were told to go out and do something with their talents. The one with five went out and he doubled it. The one with three went out and he made it five. The one with one went and buried it. Now here's the interesting twist. When the master came back and he saw what the servants had done with the talents, he said to the one that made the 5 10, "Well done, you keep it. Keep doing the good work." The one that made the 3 5, he said, "Well done, you keep it. Keep up the good work." The one that had one, he said to him, "Listen, young man, what do you think you're doing? Give me that one, I'm giving it to one that has 10. Hello, did you hear that? He took away from the one that didn't use it and gave it to somebody that was willing to use it. I want to say something to you. There's a lot of pastors out here that a lot of anointing has been allocated to them, but they never use it. I claim it. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't care if you like what I say, but in Jesus' name, I'm claiming it. Because I tell you what, that's how the kingdom of God works. If you won't use what God's given you, he will take away yours and give it to somebody that will use it. Is there anybody in this church that's willing to use?
Oh, yes!
Then I want you to claim the anointing that's lying around that right now people are not using. Stand up and claim it. Come, we're going to pray this. We're going to pray this. You know, God spoke to me about this over the weekend. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart about this. It's been coming for a couple of weeks that slowly but surely God has been touching my heart about this. But I want to tell you that there is a lot of anointing available, but not a lot of people using what's available to them. And what's available, God wants it to be used. God wants us to make a difference. God wants us to be a light shining. The more anointing I have, the more I can shine. The more anointing I have, the bigger my sphere of influence. The more anointing I have, the more I can do for God. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to firstly understand that God is not going to give you the anointing just because you want it. He's going to give it to you because he finds you faithful in using it. So if you leave from this place and tomorrow you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, where before you might not want to do it, tomorrow you're going to make a plan and you're going to do it. Do you understand? You're going to do it and you're going to allow God to use you. Now I'm praying this with you. And we're going to trust God that tonight is going to be a very powerful night, because I know that I know that I know that there is a... Let's just take this area for example. Let's say that there is 100,000 people living in this area. How many of the 100,000 people living in this area do you think is actually using that anointing that is allocated to them? Maybe 1,000. That means 99,000 out there have done what the man with the one talent did. They've buried it. And they're probably never going to use it. God doesn't want that to happen. The anointing is special. It should not be wasted. And if they're not going to use it, well then in Jesus' name, we can. Amen. Do you agree with me? We can. Raise your hands. Actually, before we do that, I'm going to play a song. Before we do that, you close your eyes, you stand there, and then I'm going to play this song. And when it's through... Hallelujah. Now, I want to read you the parable that I just spoke about. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, from verse 14. Just stand, it's not going to take long. Again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servant and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once, and he put this money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with these 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting what you have not sown and gathering what you have not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid the talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I do not sow, and you knew that I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on the deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take this talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. He will have an abundance. He who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth." Well, there you have it. What God wants to see in us is faithfulness. And he says, "If I find you faithful with the little that you have, know that I am willing to give you more." And know something. The ones who are faithful will be given what used to belong to the ones that are unfaithful. Now, I want to say something to you. If you can show to the Lord that you are faithful, and if you have been showing the Lord that you are faithful, then you have the right to expect that there should be added to what you have. It's biblical. Jesus said to both the 2 faithful servants, "I found you faithful with little. I will put you in charge of much." Who of you that's here today believes that in your own way you have been faithful? Then what can you realistically expect? Look at your neighbor and say, "Increase. Increase." So now what are we talking about? I'm telling you that there are a lot of people out there that there is anointing that has been allocated to them, but they don't care. They're not interested, and possibly they never will be. And the Word of God says that what used to be allocated to them will be taken away and given to those that are faithful. Now, it stands to reason that if that guy has anointing that has been allocated to him, but he's never going to use it, or she's never going to use it, then why not us use it for the glory of God? Well, in Jesus' name, I claim it. Now, I'm not stealing it from them. This is a biblical principle. If you don't use it, God will take it away from you and give it to somebody else that is willing to use it. It's a biblical principle. But therefore, I also need to come to the place that I realize that and say, "Lord, please, that person is no longer faithful with what they were given, or they cannot be faithful with what they were given. Give me a chance. Let me show you what I can do for you." Can you do that? Of course. I want us to pray about that. I don't know what God's going to do for you, but I know what I want for myself. I want more fire. I want more anointing. I want more power. I want to see the things that God has placed in my heart. And I know that without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for me to do it. And I know that there's a lot of anointing lying around being wasted. It's under tons and tons of dust. Let's kick off the dust and start using it. Raise your hands and pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for all of my sins and that you rose again from the dead. In your own words, Lord, you told us the Spirit of the living God is upon you Because he has anointed you for the work of the kingdom. In a similar line, I too need your anointing to be effective for God. Lord, please help me to always be effective, to cherish the anointing, to long for the anointing, to call for that anointing. And help me, Lord, to be faithful with the little that I have. And because I believe, I have been faithful, today I come before your throne. And I ask you, Lord, please, give me the opportunity to use what others have not been faithful with. I ask you in Jesus' mighty name to allow some of that anointing to be allocated to me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I claim the anointing that other people despise, that they have hidden, that they have pushed away. I claim it in Jesus' name for the glory of God, for the extension of His kingdom, to make a difference in a very dark world. And I thank you for this tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. You can sit down. Thank you. Now, I want to say this to you. Tonight, when we pray, that's what I'm going to pray for you about. You claimed something. I want you to have an expectation that tonight, when the power of God is going to come upon you, something will be released in your spirit. Amen? I want you to know something. God doesn't take things like this lightly. And I want you to see this parable is there to show us that God has no time for people that waste His gifts. And there's a lot of people that waste it. They couldn't care less. But if God sees in you somebody that is willing, somebody that is saying, Lord, here I am. I want to be used. I want to make a difference. Don't you think for one second that He won't respond, because He will. I'm telling you now, tonight we're going to have a very powerful night. We start praying for people, because what you asked God for right now, things are beginning to be put in place for you. And there's a lot of people God's going to take away from them, and God's going to give to you. And I'm expected. Bless God. Lord Jesus, your word is truth. And your word says that when people are not faithful, what they have will be taken from them and given to the ones that are faithful. You heard the heart cry of these people. And I ask you, Lord, to honor this cry. I ask you, Lord, to honor this request. And I have an expectation that tonight we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We stand on your word. Your word is our foundation. And we have an expectation that something amazing and powerful, something wonderful and divine is going to take place in our midst tonight. And Lord, I thank you that anointing that has been lying around, not used for generations, will begin to break through into our lives today. We honor you for this and we praise you for this in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Blessed be your name, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is upon me, because He has anointed me to. That word to tells you what the anointing is for. The anointing is for something. It's not for nothing. It's not a showpiece. You don't put it on the mantelpiece. It's not a party trick. It's not to make you look good or anything like that. It's there to open the eyes of the blind, to preach the gospel of the good news. I want to ask you a question. Who of you would like to be able to speak the word of God in a way that it touches people's hearts? That's the purpose of the anointing. Listen to what he says. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Let's talk about that. The foundation of Christianity is the Word. The Word shows us and reveals to us what we believe in. Yes, I know you all believe in Jesus, but the Word shows us what you believe in Jesus. And if we can't bring the Word to people, we can't get them to believe. It is the Word of God that turns into the sword of the Spirit that can cut open the hearts of people to actually receive the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Word, it's not possible. And if you bring somebody to salvation just by sharing with them your testimony, but you then don't get them into a good Bible-based church so that they get filled with the Word, slowly but surely they'll fall back into their old ways and they will not finish the race. Because the Word is necessary. The Word changes you. The Bible says, is not my Word like a fire? Is not my Word like a hammer? The Word breaks down the rubbish that is stuck inside of us. The Word burns up the rubbish that has grown around us, that entangle us. Have you ever seen weeds? They grow very, very quickly. And sometimes, let's take a farmer for example. When a farmer plants his crops, he has to be very careful what he has allowed to grow in his fields before he plants his crops. Because if there is a lot of weeds, the weeds will kill the plants. It's just a fact of life. Weeds grow at 3 times the speed of millet or maize or, you know, whatever the case is that you're planting. And the weeds come up quickly and they take all the nutrients from the soil. They take all the sunlight which plants need to be able to grow. And in the end, it'll kill your seed. So the Word of God does what? It is a fire and it is a hammer, which means it brings destruction to the rubbish that God doesn't want there. If you never get the Word, what's going to happen? The weeds will overgrow your heart and you will go nowhere. And sometimes we try and go forward with our life, but if you could see in the Spirit, all these weeds have come around you and they've entangled you. So when you try to go forward, you can't. But when the fire of God's Word is released into your life, it starts burning up all that rubbish. Amen. So, getting back to that scripture, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Now, when you come under the anointing, one of the first things that starts to change in your life is the way that you read the Word. Listen to me very carefully. Anybody can take the Bible and anybody can read the Bible. But not anybody can take the Bible and speak the Word of God in a way that it makes sense and cuts to the hearts of people. And that's what it's about. Two different people can share something from the Bible. One will touch your heart. You will feel emotional. You might start feeling like, wow, something is happening to your heart. You might start shaking. You might start, feeling all sorts of stuff. But something happens inside of you and you feel this power touching you, convicting you of sin, bringing you to the place of repentance and change. And the other one, they read, and you just listen and think, interesting. What's the difference? The first guy is anointed, the second guy is not. If I give a Satanist the Bible and I let them read to you, they are still going to be reading the Word of God. And in a sense, there will always be some power in the Word of God, but the anointing allows the power to flow. Without the anointing, it cannot flow. So now, you want to be able to speak the Word of God and make a difference. Let me teach you something very quickly. It's not how much you give. It's the power behind what you give. If you are anointed, sometimes you only need to share one scripture or two scriptures and the power of God, boom, is there. And then you get other people that they can preach for hours and hours and hours and hours and nothing changes because there's no power. We looked at that scripture last week. The kingdom of God does not exist in words, but in a demonstration of power. That's what God wants. The reason He anoints us is so that the Word will change when we speak it and when we read it. Also, when you are anointed, what you see is different from what you used to see. Do you understand? The Word of God is called the living Word. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. And it changes all the time. Even though it's the same message, It changes all the time. Sometimes it will bring this message across. Sometimes it will bring that message across as the Holy Spirit gives it life. And when you read it, today it'll say one thing to you. Tomorrow it'll say something else to you, even though it's the same words. But the anointing does that. Can I tell you why? Because the anointing will let it go into certain areas of your life, speak to certain areas of your life, and go to certain places in your heart where it is necessary. That means that when you take the Bible and you come under the anointing, the Bible suddenly becomes alive. No longer do you just read it, now it begins to speak to you. And you know what the best type of sermons are, or the best type of life lessons to share with people? It's not, listen, my pastor said this and this and this, the evangelist said that and that and that. It's what God speaks to you. Because when God has allowed through the anointing the word to speak to you, then when you speak it to somebody else, you speak it with authority and you speak it with power, and it begins to cut to their hearts. And they're like, wow, that's powerful. When the word of God starts speaking to you, the way you speak to people will be different. It'll not be the same. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power. And we thank you for your equipping. In your own words, Lord, you say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Lord, we all want to get to that place that we start preaching good news. I love, Lord, that you have something good to say. Because when we look at this world and when we look at people in general, there's so many people that never have anything good to say. When they open their mouth, they complain. When they open their mouth, they hoy tantrums. When they open their mouth, they are negative and they are destructive in the way that they speak. I know, Lord, that you want us to be different. And I pray that you will help us to get to that place. Let's talk about what I just prayed. When the anointing comes upon you, what God expects from you is to have good news. The world is full of people that have nothing good to say. You all know people like that. When they open their mouths, it's like poison starts dripping from them. The more you listen to them, the more you get sucked into the pit of despair yourself. That's not what God wants from us. God wants us to bring good news. You as a child of God must be the salt of this earth. You must add flavor to people, not poison them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, we need the anointing of God, but we also need to check our hearts. Because sometimes our hearts can be very wrong. It's no good you want to preach to somebody and tell them good news, but you've just spent 2 hours actually bringing them down into the pit by what came out of your mouth. Hello? It's not going to work that way, because the person's going to sit there and think, what a hypocrite. You want to tell me about this good news, but it looks like you need it 10 times more than me. Go back to your pastor and ask him to pray for you. We need to bring good news. Everybody goes through difficult times. But we must learn to allow the good news to come out. I don't care how bad your life is right now. You've got some good things that you can share with people. That's what you should be sharing. And you will find the more that you share the good things, the more that you speak the good things, the more that you are positive and excited about life and about the things of God, the more the bad things will just get pushed back, back, back. And eventually they will no longer be a big issue in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to touch our mouths and change the way we speak and the things we speak to people. Does that make sense to you? And this is something that tonight when we pray, you must trust God that He's going to come and do it. One of the prophets in the Old Testament, the way God called him was God came, an angel came and touched his tongue with a hot coal. Do you know why? Because probably God wanted to burn off all the rubbish that had been stuck there for a long time and purify his tongue. And tongues can be very disastrous and very destructive. Have you noticed that? You know, sometimes I think it would be very interesting if somebody would walk with us and record what we have to say and later play it back to us so that we hear what we say and how we say it. We would probably be shocked. But the fact is, when the anointing comes, it comes to help us to change that. If you know that you really battle with your tongue, if you tend to speak negative things, if you find it difficult to have positive things to say and to bring good news, then I want to tell you something. You should go on your knees and beg God for more anointing so that your tongue can be touched, so that you will start having good news to share with people. Because the more you share good news with people, the more you affect, you cause them to be infected by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more they want it. You know, people follow Jesus because he always had something good to say. No, the Pharisees, he gave them a hiding because they needed it. But he had good news for the people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is called good news for a reason. Come on, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. How much better can I put that to you? I mean, that's the best news ever. And that's something we should share. But it's not the only thing we should share. You have good things to share about what God has done in your life, don't you? That's good news. Instead of complaining and stressing and freaking out because you didn't get this and that contract, you say, oh, you know what? I've got some problems, but let me tell you what God did do for me. And this tells me that he's going to do something good for me as well. We need to change just the application of the way that we speak to people sometimes. Amen? Amen? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to. Right. The anointing is there to equip us. If you want to do something for God without the anointing, you're going to do nothing for God. Because you can't. You can't force these things. You can't sit there and go through positive thinking or just repetition in some way to try and bring it out of you. You can't bring it out of you. The anointing brings it out of you. The anointing puts it in you and then allows it to flow through you. Amen?